me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Over the summer, my husband, Mark, and I finally entered that phase of life known as the empty nest. My son and his girlfriend, who had been living with us, moved into a place of their own. And my daughter, who was also living with us after her college graduation, moved into her own apartment as well. Suddenly, it was just Mark and I. I cannot say that I was not a bit wistful to see them go, I surely was, but to be perfectly honest with you, I was also rather relieved. Relieved because there had been so much flux in the house. For years, actually. So many comings and goings. My niece had lived with us for a couple of years. We had hosted a young man, a refugee from Honduras, for a couple of months. So much change. So I was relieved when a few weeks ago, things quieted down at 627 South Street. Well, actually, quiet may not be the best word for it, because the first thing that we did as soon as the screen door slammed behind the last kid to leave was to call the carpenters and the plasterers and the painters and the floor sanders. For many weeks now, we have been on a huge home improvement jag. I have been cleaning out closets and carting bin after bin of stuff to the second-hand store. After so much change and flux, after so many years, I am desperate to be in a solid house again. For things just to be in their proper place, for the world that I live in to seem steady and predictable once again, is it too much to ask that my keys stay in the same place that I put them at the end of the day so that I can find them again in the morning? The Hebrew people in our story this morning have also been in flux. They have seen great changes. Nothing has stayed the same. Each day has brought new challenges and new terrain. They have been a scattered and wandering people for generations. It all started, you remember, back in Egypt with the burning bush and Moses, with longing, meeting, longing, igniting a plan and purpose. With Moses, with the help of his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam, leading God's people out of slavery to Pharaoh. People crossing through the waters of new birth, crossing through the Red Sea to a new beginning with Miriam dancing and singing and playing the tambourine on that far shore of freedom. It is these same people who Moses led and were given the Ten Commandments and were given new life, no longer slaves to Pharaoh, no longer widgets in some transactional economic system, but instead as beloved children of God, co-creators of goodness and tenders of creation. But it didn't stop there for these people. No, they again had to cross another river, this time the River Jordan, and they entered into a time of strife and confusion as they tried to figure out how they were to live in this strange but promised land. And that brings us to today. Today, the Hebrew people, after years of wandering flux and strife, are now home. They are home, and their first impulse is to get busy getting their house in order. They too feel a desire for solidity, predictability, for things to be in their right place. They do not call a plasterer or a carpenter, but they do call David as their king, and the Ark of the Covenant, that beautiful vessel that housed the Ten Commandments and in which the glory of God dwelt. Why should that be camped out in a field somewhere? It is time to bring it as well into Jerusalem, to establish it in its proper place. And all this is done, and it is good, so very good, that this time it is David that has the tambourine, and it is David who now dances. Our world could use some of that joy, don't you think? Our world could use some solid ground, some stability. Wouldn't it be fabulous to hear those tambourines once again? Can you imagine what it would feel like to know that we finally made it, that we have arrived at the place where all is well and all is stable and we can finally rest? Can you imagine what that would feel like? To have a climate that no longer groans and thrashes in its suffering, but it is healthy and well and is at peace. To have done the good work of unmasking and dismantling the lie of white supremacy so that people are no longer gunned down in their living rooms, but instead are welcomed into a world where all of God's people can not only stay alive, but can thrive. To no longer shove people into boxes of worth based on gender or sexual identity, and instead to rejoice in the full fluidity of what it is to be alive and to love. Can you imagine? Nicodemus, he couldn't. No, he couldn't. It's hard. It's hard to imagine. Nicodemus knows not the waters of new birth, but only the fear and loss of what has been. The Romans are now empire. The time of David has passed. Nicodemus has come in the cover of night because night is what he has come to know. He has come to know only the landscape of fear, instability, flux, and dead endings. The possibility for something more is beyond his imagining. And so when Jesus says that, yes, there is more, new life is on the move right now, well, that's just mind-bending to poor Nicodemus. Compassionate and brilliant as he is, that Pharisee of long ago, that pillar in his community, that man of great faith, for Nicodemus, the liberation and the tambourine that Jesus hands him, it's just too much. He stands there stunned and stammering. How can these things be? How can these things be? There is a paradox at the very heart of our faith, I think. And that is that while we may work hard to get our own lives in order, to make them secure and solid, and to hunker down within them, God is on the move. God promises that God will be with us in what is not good, and not right, and not stable. God seems to prefer to remain not in the confines of a box, no matter how glorious that box may be, but instead, God seems to prefer to be on the move, or as Jesus says, the wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. I think that God is trying to show us that in the life of Jesus, and that's what Jesus is trying to show Nicodemus. Life, it's going to be messy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be full of suffering. That's what the human condition is, I'm afraid. But the good news is that in the midst of it all, God will be with us. That is what we see in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who in the light of day goes to the hungry, the hurting, the sick, the possessed, the dying. Jesus goes to all that is broken to be with us and to help us through it. To help us through the suffering. Emmanuel, God with us, staying at our side until the very last tear falls and is caught by the hand of compassion. For if God so loved the world that God chose to enter into it, then the hardest places in our lives, those places of suffering, we can assure God will turn up there as well. And not just turn up there, but to catch our last tear with the strength and to give us the perseverance to face what tomorrow will bring, even when we cannot see it. This is the good news that shines forth even in the midst of the very hardest of news. So what does this mean for our living? Well, for me, it means not turning away, but daring to enter in. It means letting tears fall if they need to fall, while somehow trusting that there will be tambourines on the far side of such a watershed. Rob Bell, a theologian, pastor, and writer, says that if he were to sum up the entire Bible, if he were to sum up the prominent message of the Holy Scripture, which is the account of people's lives with God, then he says that predominant message would be new creation. It is what is the heart of everything. He says, it is the impulse that is yearning within all matter that leans forward. Bell sees this proclaimed through the biblical witness as time and time again, people are accompanied and delivered. In not too long from now, as hard as it is to believe, we will be celebrating this impulse towards a new creation as we gather around the manger once again. We will marvel at how the divine is delivering itself in the most unexpected ways and then bidding us to come and let the spirit of divine presence rise in us as well. So, let's say yes to those freshly plastered walls and shiny floors. They are a thing of beauty, let me assure you. Let us enjoy the quiet and peace of having our house in order. Let us rest in the divine presence that is surely present to us there as well. But when the hard times come, when it's time to step into and face the hard places in our world, let us be assured that God will meet us there as well. Let us trust that God is at work in those hard places to deliver us and to recreate. Let us draw close to God so that the waters of new birth, our tears, or the waters of divine compassion, which are truly one and the same, may anoint and recreate us. And may the light of God's goodness shine and show us the way to that day where the tambourines will surely sound again. Thanks be to God. Amen.